would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
up with the preseason football already, people. Goodness gracious.
Don't turn it off, but stop trusting what you see.
Enough. I was so annoyed over the weekend by preseason football game analysis. Joel here, Gray there. It is the Gray Area. Monday mornings, 8 to 9, we just get together and, oh, we talk about some nonsense stuff and just whatever's top of mind. How was your weekend, Gray?
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
Had a fun time on Friday. Had to pop over to the doctor's office, but it's always good when things go as well as they possibly can with a surprise medical visit.
Yeah, Saturday was a bit of a washout. Yesterday, beautiful day.
Indeed, there were mushrooms a-growing.
Yeah, after all that rain, they were popping, weren't they? Yeah.
It's been a good start. This is the peak. The real peak is here in the late summer, early fall.
Yeah, Packers came back and won the preseason game, which brought a lot of joy to Packer fans, of course. There should be no joy in preseason football, folks. There should just be watching and just enjoying the fact that your team is out there with your helmet and your jersey on. Half of them are different from what the guys were on last year, but we like the uniforms. I like to see them run around out there. But I was listening to just a little bit of the Packer post-game analysis, and one caller called in, and this happens on all of the broadcasts for every team. You know, the guy's calling up, he says, yeah, it looks like, you know, we got the same problem as last year. You know, we got penalties and we got drop passes, and it's just these are
the penalties were disgusting.
Yeah, and I know it's frustrating, but there's second and third stringers out there, so let's just not get too excited that it's the same thing as last year, because
indeed.
I don't know, but I think the Packer game, did most of the starters never saw the field, I'm assuming, right?
Actually,
or did they a little bit?
I believe most of them did not, but I'm not 100% certain, because what I missed this time was the beginning of the game, and I haven't watched the full highlights yet.
Right.
I haven't had the opportunity yet this morning because I was doing this. This is kind of the time, like normally when I'm doing my morning show over on Trail Mix, I'm really fresh on morning football info, mostly because there's not much to be had, and Monday morning is the exception now the preseason's happening, so I've got to adjust my schedule a bit.
Well, and there's with the collective bargaining agreement, of course, we're down to 3 preseason games, and the second preseason game, every single team, whoever they played on Saturday, they had the scrimmage against them on Thursday. So everybody did that across the NFL. So the Packers, they played the who'd they play on Saturday? The
Colts.
So on Thursday, they had basically a controlled scrimmage of different situations on Thursday, and the Vikings did the same thing. And then depending on how that goes, coaches will be like, you know what? We don't need to put that out there again on Saturday.
Right.
We'll put different guys. It's really a way for teams to play a lot of their starters on Thursday in controlled situations, and then Saturday the second and third stringers will play. And that's exactly what the Vikings did. The Vikings went out and they just lit up the Patriots Thursday. The report said that J.J. McCarthy lit up the Patriots defense, and then Saturday they're like, all right, we're good. You don't need to play. And the second and third stringers were on the field the entire game. So just, I know it's hard not to get excited when you see your team won. It's hard not to get excited. But
that's more about the itch being scratched. Than try to make it about that. Try to make it more about that there's football activities happening than the quality thereof.
I enjoy the, for me, it's like the first round of golf on a Thursday where guys are, or second round even, where guys are trying to make the cut. You know, because that's what this last, that's what Saturday was, and that's what this coming week is. It's about guys trying to make the cut. There's you know, on every team, there's at least 5 to 10 or a dozen players that every team has that are right there. And the coaches probably haven't made their decision yet on which way they're going to go. So that's exciting to watch that process, I
guess.
That's
the biggest distinction for preseason is that, yeah, the fans shouldn't care, but the players still do. And that's what makes it valuable. You've got to give those players the opportunity to show what they can do when their job is on the line, whether fans should care or not. And we shouldn't, because, again, they're not playing to win as much as to let the cream race to the top. And yeah, wins are nice. Some coaches, total mixed bag. Some coaches do want preseason wins. But like Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, like – great coaches through history, many of them have not given a rip one way or the other how the preseason turns out, except to use it to sift their guys. It's a colander.
Right. Well, the really good teams are looking for their backups.
Yep.
Because most of their starters are already set. They're already set. So that's what they're doing. An example of what I'm talking about is Lions-Dolphins played their controlled practice on Thursday. And all reports from all the tweets and the postings from Lions and Dolphins reporters is that the Lions absolutely just steamrolled the Dolphins at every aspect of this Thursday. Just number ones versus number one, Lions destroyed the Dolphins.
Yep.
To the point where people are just like, McDaniel's going to get fired. This is horrible. And one Lions player said, we practice different than the Dolphins do.
Oh, yeah.
So that came out. And then Saturday they played the game on TV, and the Dolphins beat them.
Yep.
So, but it wasn't the same guys on the field.
Exactly. Well, yeah. See, that's just it. There's so – you've got to – it's all grain of salt. Fans, that's just it. Fans shouldn't care. Players shouldn't talk like that. That player – really should not have ran his mouth.
Right.
I even reported it on my morning show because it looked really bad. That the morning after the, I think it was the second joint practice, because it's not just that they have that one Thursday practice. They actually, in most cases, practice together all week. Their whole week of practice is joint practice to some degree, or at least there's multiple joint practices before that Thursday scrimmage, day off on Friday, unless they have their game on Friday.
Yeah.
And so it was ratcheting up throughout the week. It was basically the Lions pass rushers are blowing them up so bad that the refs had to stop them from you know, because in practice you don't actually let your pass rusher sack the quarterback. You're going to be manufacturing injuries if you do that. So when the pass rusher breaks through the line and it's clear he would get a sack, you stop the play. All right, cool, next play. And it's kind of a punishment for the offense the same way it would be if the quarterback went down. But the word out of camp was Aiden Hutchinson specifically was breaking through so often, they finally said, okay, when you break through, just stop. We've got to let the offense practice. Because he was doing it like they were talking about him like he was Reggie White, basically. It was just like, if he looked at you, you went down.
Just
like,
stop.
So it was definitely piling on. And that was the point I made, was the longer you look, the worse you'll find. And it was the players started to trash talk. Miami's head coach did respond saying that's just noise. It sounded a little weak in the moment, but it's the right thing to say. You know, it's just noise. And what do you know?
Well,
what do you know?
One thing I think I can analyze, maybe not just from the preseason, but going into this season, is that of the four teams in the NFC Norris division, the Vikings, Packers, Lions, Bears, if your starting quarterback goes down, I think the Packers are in the best position. I think the Packers have the better backup quarterback of the four teams.
Yes, agreed, but honestly not by as much as we probably thought. Brosmer in Minnesota put up some really good throws, though he had some interesting decision making. He even Stefanski commented that he doesn't, or not Stefanski, excuse me, O'Connell. I don't know why I get those two head coaches.
He's a Minnesota guy.
I know, but still, they're different names, Gray, and they're from different like ethnicities, even like they're separated. There's anyway, even O'Connell mentioned that he doesn't necessarily read plays the way he's supposed to, but he said it in a complimentary way. Mm-hmm. He said that he processes so fast that even when he gets it wrong, he does it at a speed that's high enough to do good things, basically.
Yeah. I just like the fact that Malik Willis, he can beat you with his legs.
Yes, exactly.
So as a backup quarterback, that can be trouble when your starting quarterback is a dropback and the team prepared for you all week, and all of a sudden Malik Willis is out there. Look what the Vikings did with Dobbs last year, and teams weren't ready for him. They just weren't ready to see that.
It's tough to say anything ill about Tyson Bagent putting up 28 points in the first half against the Bills last night, though. It's to say that Willis was the hottest looking quarterback this past weekend, maybe not, but in general, yes, I'd agree, the best backup. The one real stinker of a backup in the NFC North right now was Hendon Hooker, but I think we just saw the baton get passed for backup quarterback in Detroit, at least if the coaches agree with the fans, which is that Hendon Hooker is now QB3 behind Allen.
Yeah, I think of all the teams in the NFC most likely to take a step back this year, I vote for the Rams, just because Matthew Stafford's having some back issues, and back issues usually don't translate well to the NFL.
Oh yeah, he's in a magical healing pod on the sidelines of practice last week. If you look up, he's
magical.
Did you see that thing?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I don't like bashing things that people believe
in. Was it like
a
tanning booth version of healing, or what was it?
Yes, yes. It's bizarre how accurate that is, that what you just said is.
When you said it, I thought of a tanning booth.
Yes, it's basically a tanning booth, but with, okay. I mean, like, the thing about science, and I get it, if you decide you don't want to trust science, okay, I don't blame you. Science has really put some stinkers up there. But the thing about science is that it's self-correcting. And the toolkit that science represents enables you to identify its own failures. That's a really attractive thing to me. When a system is designed to point out its own flaws to you so that you can correct and address mm-hmm. them, that's why I like science. Apparently, Stafford's not super all about that. Then again, if I were an injured quarterback and I stood to make millions of dollars a year and my body was failing me, I'd probably try some weird stuff too. So I don't entirely blame him. Yeah. But if you Google the Immortal Healing Booth, you decide what you find.
Immortal Healing Booth.
Immortal. It's spelled like immortal, but with an A at the front.
Immortal,
it's like amortal.
Healing
it's
booth.
Like amoral, but with a T in there. It's a confusing word.
Well, at least nothing else, he'll come out looking good with a good tan, right?
And again, if you Google the Immortal, yes, indeed. He'll come out looking great.
Fabulous.
If you Golden. Google the Immortal Healing Booth and you like what you see, I am not judging that, but I'm really hoping it's not the only thing he's doing to address his back issues because, the Rams might be in rough shape.
After the bottom of the hour news, we're going to talk about the weirdest ending to a baseball game that I ever saw in my entire life. It was a minor league game, so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And we're also going to touch a little bit about the Price County Fair coming up this weekend. This weekend's a Price County Fair. I see you. If you want to add something to the menu, sir, I mean, we have a dry erase board. You can put your own chef's choice up there at any point, Gray. So Gray's eyeing up the menu, wondering what the heck is that.
Well, no, I just see there's three S's where two should be.
Oh yeah,
you're hissing at me at one
well,
point.
Well, my spelling isn't real good.
Actually, it's remarkably clean aside from that one tripled letter. And I'm just going to tell you that's all it is. I'll let you find it.
Well, thank you. It's 8:28. More of the Gray Area coming up here after the news on 98Q Country. So I finally got nailed on the plastic lid on the top of the coffee cup this morning. I've been pretty good at that for a long time, of noticing the cracked lid at the top. You take that first sip of coffee from the gas station, you know where it ends up. Oh, yeah. It dried up pretty good, but right on the front of your shirt.
I don't want to say what I was about to say because I feel like I'll curse myself, but I'm not familiar with that issue.
I know. You're a coffee barista. You're insulted by gas station coffee.
No,
I know.
No.
Okay,
I get plenty. I'll tell you what, that Caruba Gold, that's top-notch gas station coffee right there. That's borderline
gourmet.
Tell you
what, when when Quick Trip,
easy for, easy for you to
more
say.
More coffee. When Quick Trip put in the machine that actually grinds the bean, either it's a visual deception or they're actually doing it. And I think they're actually doing it because once I use that machine that has the actual beans where it grinds it, I instantly, when I drank it, I'm just like, ooh, that's different.
You
that's
know,
better.
That you've got better. Me wondering now, is that just a coffee grinder or is it even a grinder? Is is it like, I can picture it. You know, you just open a chute and you drop some beans right into the garbage.
Yeah.
You run a grinder so it makes the grinder noise because you can't see those beans actually being ground.
It's a hologram.
And then you bring in your coffee that you brewed off of normal grounds that were stored elsewhere in the machine.
Wouldn't it be easier just to grind? I mean, all that you mentioned is harder than just using the grinder.
I know, but
it could be happening.
I don't trust establishments anymore. Joel, I have issues.
And I'm all right, by the way. My coffee, I had a darker shirt on, so unless you look really close, you can't see the coffee stain too much. My wife will notice it.
Am I a bad person for not even thinking, is Joel okay?
It was emotional. I mean, when you need coffee in the morning, you take that first drink, and it ends up on the front of your shirt part of it. It's just like, really? This is how today's going to go, huh? Really?
Now, when you said, I'm all right, by the way, I thought, wait, why? Oh, yeah, hot coffee.
Could have been a lawsuit there.
Danger involved.
So one of the weirdest endings to baseball game ever I saw over the weekend, it happened in the minor leagues. I saw the video. It may have happened 10 years ago, so here's the scenario. Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, all right? Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth. Team's down by a run. They're down by a run. Guy hits the ball, batter hits the ball into right center field to a space that it's obvious that not only will the runner from third score, but the runner from second will probably score easily and the game will be over.
Really got that sweet spot.
Yep, the game will be over. So the guy on second, the guy on third runs in and scores. The guy in second rounds third base. As he's rounding third base, his teammates from the dugout know that they're going to win the game. So a guy comes running out of the dugout to high-five him as he's rounding third base and knocks him over. So the runner goes down. The runner gets up, has enough time. The runner gets up, still goes in and scores. But the umpire says, that's aiding and abetting a runner or whatever. That's a criminal term. But you're helping the runner, and it's not legal to do that.
Harboring a runner.
So the runner from third, the runner rounding third who would have scored the winning run is called out. He's called out. So only one run has scored.
Tie game.
But before that happened, the right fielder who went out and retrieved the ball that was obviously going to end the game. It was over. He went out and grabbed the ball and threw it into the stands. So the ball technically was still a live ball because the guy had not scored the winning run, and that occurred, and then the interference occurred. So the guy rounding third is out, but because the right fielder threw the ball into the stands, it's bit technically out of play. All runners advance two bases, and the team still wins the game, even though... Isn't that a bizarre ending to a game?
What the?
Yeah.
Okay, so I listen to a lot of audiobooks, I read a lot of books, and there's always something that you didn't see coming out of left field. The term for the literature term is deus ex machina, God in the machine, basically from nothing a victory. You know, like you didn't earn this, but you're getting it anyway. And it's, as a reader of a book, it's usually like kids' novels and young adult novels and that kind of stuff where the good guy always wins. And honestly, even in adult literature, the good guy usually wins, unless it's crime, because that starts with the good guy dying. But no, that feels like it was badly written. Like, okay, you could have hidden the victory a little better in the woodwork there.
Just one of the weirdest endings to a baseball game ever. It was wonderful.
Do you celebrate? Do you celebrate that like any other victory, or do you sit there just, you know, because I'm sitting there like I'd have a shell shock look on my face if I'm the fool who came out and celebrated and knocked my teammate down and almost lost us the game. You know, I feel like I've lost us the game, even though we've got the W in the column.
Yeah, and the guy who knocked down the runner at third, even though his team won, feels much more foolish than the right fielder who sensed the game was over. He was grabbing the ball and giving it to a fan, said, you know, hey, thanks for coming. I mean, even though that play cost him the game, I think the guy who ran out and tackled his own player is much more of a fool than the right fielder who just assumed the game was over.
I think this should trigger a fan vote scenario where, I don't know, a competition for who can do the best wave on each side of the stadium picks the winner of the game. Like, that's such a bizarre... That the rules even accounted for it, you know, that there was even a solution at hand is pretty impressive to me. Credit to the refs on that one.
Yeah.
Like, you're a minor league ref. You did not wake up thinking, all right, I'm ready to be tested today, baby. Let me have one. And they did.
I know we're talking a lot of sports today in the gray area, but we're going to continue because I heard a line over the weekend that made me laugh out loud. I watched quite a bit of the Packer game. As I was watching the Packer game, I was listening to the Viking game on the Viking radio network. And there was a guffaw by the Minnesota Vikings coach in the third quarter as he was mic'd up live. He dropped a naughty word on the radio and TV broadcast, which are being simulcast. And the response from the Vikings play-by-play guy was one of the best lines that I've ever heard in my life. And you've heard it before, because they lined up the play and Kevin O'Connell was watching, and one of the guys for the Vikings moved illegally, and he knew that that happened, and he dropped the naughty word at that time. And then the play, obviously they got penalized, and Kevin O'Connell was not happy. And Paul Allen responded to Coach Kevin O'Connell. He said, "Other than that, Miss Lincoln, how was the play?" And I thought to myself a second, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I mean, it...
That is a great line.
That Paul is, he's one of one.
He is one of one, exactly.
He's not Bob Uecker. He's not Wayne Larrabee, but he is the only one he is. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I've told you this before, but I worked with him his very first job in Minneapolis for about a year, and he is everything you think he is.
He's everything.
He's a wonderful individual, but he has got a photographic memory, and he is just he's that phrase I just said. So.
Oh, I hope he hears me say this. I hated that guy so much about 13 years ago, when I was going to school in Western Minnesota. You know, driving home back and forth. Of course, your first trip back your freshman year of college is usually Thanksgiving there in November. You've spent about a couple months away from home. And of course, I'm going back on Sundays when I visit home, so I'm listening to Packers games by radio. And I don't remember what city it was that the switchover happened, but I could no longer get any stations that were Packer friendly.
So you had to listen to the Viking.
Oh, and it was the year that Adrian Peterson came back from that injury better than when he went down.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, and I mean, every weekend, and he busts loose. It's like, I'm tired of him busting loose, man. I'm tired of him busting loose.
See, when I think part of my passion for, and I've matured beyond this, but I grew up a Viking fan in Packer country, and part of the thing that sparked my dislike as a youth for the Packers was Jim Irwin and Max McGee, because they were one of the transition crews. They were not maybe the first, but they were one of the first play-by-play duos in the NFL on the radio that were homers. And they made no bones about it. They were we, us, and all that stuff. The Viking announcers at the time were straight-laced, the old-school announcers. Just call the game, you know, it's not us, it's not we, it's a great game, you know.
Use team names instead of us or they.
But I heard I had to put up with listening to Jim Irwin and Max McGee just whine about everything that went wrong with their team. But that's the way it is now. We've become numb to it. But most play-by-play radio announcers for their teams, the Colts, the Patriots, whatever, they're we and us and rah-rah because it works. It works. I think the fans like it better than the generic style.
Agreed. It's especially because those broadcasts are so regional, and if it's primarily being broadcast by radio signal, it's literally limited by geography. It's the perfect mix. Yeah.
And if you're tuning in online, you're tuning in because you're a fan of that team.
Yep.
And if you're not, you know what you're going to get.
Putting that on the radio is the essence of give the people what they want. It makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. If that ever changes, I will be very confused.
Yeah, and I think Wayne Larrabee is a more laid-back version of the homer. Larry McCarron, 100% homer, and that's fine. But Wayne Larrabee's a little more old school, I think. I mean, he is still rah-rah, but a little bit of old school in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, honestly, his homerism comes in the form of gentle encouragement when the Packers are doing poorly more than anything, and he might tend to compliment them more than opposing teams, but I'd say he's probably pretty neutral in that neutral homer territory.
He has a way of expressing his opinion through the tone of his voice. And this is what I love about Wayne Larrabee. He'll do this. He'll say, Jordan Love's under center, and, he's got receivers left and right, and, oh, we're offsides. just that, he'll just, that gasping like, oh, the receiver moved. Just like, not again. Come on. I mean, yeah, it's very subtle homer, like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I remember when the definition of the word exasperation
there you go.
Crystallized
there
for
you go.
Me. It's an angry sort of confusion with a splash of disappointment. And it's the kind of confusion where you don't care to understand because the thing is bad. That's Wayne Larrabee might be the perfect exasperated voice.
Yes.
Actually, Wayne is the perfect example of something I believe in way too heavily, which is that there's a relationship between what you say and what you mean, and that bridge is how you sound. And most people, I don't think, care because it's not worth thinking about.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate Larrabee and McCarron because they get it, they understand how to make it easy for a listener when they do the games, because Larry McCarron learned from an early part of it, when you're a color commentator, you know when to shut up. You have to know when to shut up. You let the play-by-play guy have the moment of the play, and then you come in and analyze it, whereas there's a lot of color commentary guys that want to be a part of the moment, and that's not generally that's not what they do or should be doing. The play-by-play guy should bring you the play in the moment. You don't want two voices yelling at you at one time on the radio, unless it's just a general like, yeah. But analyzing the play, Larry McCarron's, I think, one of the best. He's good at that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would need that reminder too. Be there when you're needed, but remember that's not often.
Yeah. Seattle, this Saturday will be the final Packer game. That's at 3:00, and that's the gold package. So that means the Milwaukee people get to have their preseason game.
Wahoo!
On Saturday. We've got Packer football, of course, for you right here, and the Brewers continue to do well. Price County Fair is coming up this weekend, and hats off to all the folks. I know there's been a transition in the past few years, the ownership of the fairgrounds and all that stuff, but it has been a wonderful transition. They're adding so much. They're adding fireworks this year. The facilities out there are wonderful. They've added a lot of rodeo-type activities, and congratulations to all involved and the volunteers, and we're going to talk with them on Wednesday. There's nothing like having to, having your county do a fair right? I mean, it adds something to the whole thing.
I don't know any other way. I've been spoiled. Yeah. I've been spoiled for my 30 years of awareness of fairs. I've been paying attention to fairs for 20 whole years, and it's been great the whole time. Thanks, guys.
So why do you go to a fair? If you go to a fair, what's your top three of this is why I'm going to a fair?
Reasons to go?
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend asked me to, and she smiled real big when she did.
Right?
And she's smiling right now. Hey, brownie points achieved. Happy Monday.
Great reason.
I think it's the best reason. Honestly, for me personally, it's because you don't know what you're going to find. You're probably going to run into a few people you know, and you're probably going to see things that you recognize from every fair, but you're going to see a lot of things that you've never seen before, and they'll be simple and they'll be small, and they might just be a silly flag at a booth and hey, look at that. And here's a little sculpture of a frog that you can win for $30 worth of quarters at this little thing. And I mean, there's a charm there. I think it's like, I don't know. It's nostalgia for the sake of, do you need a reason? I don't know. Fairs mostly feel good aside from things being expensive, and it's worth it. It's like Christmas.
For me, it gives me a legitimate reason to chase a corn dog with a milkshake. I mean, it gives me why not? I'm here. I had a corn dog, but eh.
It's 8:50, Joel. I don't have enough time left in the gray area to absorb what you just said. It's an excuse to chase a corn dog with a milkshake. I know what you mean. Like, you're just talking about the chronology of what you eat, but I was picturing you physically running after a food item with another food item in hand. So I'm like, what, is somebody wearing a corn dog suit and that is your nemesis? I mean, why are you? I mean, the fever dream. Fever dream scenario is what I was picturing.
I was thinking to myself at Flamborama and Butternut, I thought to myself, it's been far too long since I'd played a sideshow one of the side games at a carnival. It's been way too long. When I was a kid, we would save our money. Like, my parents would allow me, like, maybe $20 or whatever to use on just go have fun at the carnival. I earned it working in the summertime. And that was one of my biggest achievements on a sideshow note is skee ball. I was good at skee ball. I'm going to tell you right now, I was pretty good at skee ball.
I can picture that.
And I was playing skee ball and winning a little bit here and there, a couple of stuffed animals. And I rolled 6 balls, and I hit 50 on every one. I rolled a perfect game,
nice.
A perfect game of skee ball. And I had so many stuffed animals in my arms from that. I mean, they literally, I had the big one. I had the same character. I had the big one. I had the medium one, the small one, and the really small one. And I was like, trying to like put them in the crotch of my elbow and all that stuff. And as I'm walking away, I think to myself, I was probably fourth or fifth grade. I'm like, I can't let my friends see me. I got to get to a car. What am I doing here? What am I doing? But still one of the great achievements, my perfect skee ball game.
You're going to be like that middle schooler caught by your buddies with a pack of gum. Hey, can I have a piece? I remember thinking that about you the first time I met you in person was you look more like a skee ball player than a radio guy.
What's your greatest sideshow accomplishment?
I was actually just about to ask you something very similar, or something a little different, which is what's your best? Because I have none. I knew I couldn't knock over the milk bottles or anything like that. I actually won a goldfish and kept it alive for more than 3 days one time at Flamborama once upon a time.
Kept it alive for 3 days.
But I was just reminiscing on my single favorite prize. I think it was shooting the little star out of the piece of paper with the BB gun.
Oh, the red star.
Yeah. I actually did well enough on the red star to take home a prize that I mean, looking back, it was a super weird prize, but it was also awesome because it worked well for quite a while. And weird though it was, I'd love to have one right now. And it was one of those little potato guns, the little squeeze potato pistols.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. That's a weird prize. I was carrying around potatoes for a whole weekend after that because I wanted to be shooting things and there were little rotting potato bits in the yard everywhere. So really weird, but also underappreciated. Like, better than a cap gun. You're not going to hurt anybody with your squeezed potato pistol.
I remember the Shoot the Red Star game, and I always thought it was a scam because I would watch one. I wasn't good at it, but I watched one of my friends do it, and I'm like, you did it. You won. You won the big prize. And then the guy would stroll over, and he would bring it. He would pull the chain where it would come close to you, and he would say, right there. He says, there's a little Florida hanging Chad right there. You didn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh man, how could you not give it to him? He got everything.
Yeah, there's a piece of red the size of a field mouse's pinky nail.
Yeah, they always have an excuse as to why you didn't win it.
Good day, sir.
I had a friend of mine who was really good at the stand up the bottle game. You have the string with the little plastic hook, and then you had to hook the bottle, the pop bottle, and stand it up.
You got to do it away from yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would basically, the carnival guys would say, that's enough, you're done. And
he's the card counter.
Also, my brother, who played a very good basketball player, my oldest brother, college basketball player, after about 2 stuffed animals, they would say, you're done shooting free throws.
Yep.
He wouldn't let them shoot. If you make too many, if you win too much, they have the right to say, thank you, but no, you're done. You're out.
Honestly, shooting a basketball is one of those basic sports moves. I mean, you know, it's the fundamental scoring move. Like, it's an impressive athletic move. Like, it's easy to forget that the basketball hoop is only twice as wide as the ball itself. So to be nailing free throws like that, that's really, I think, an underappreciated
thing.
And
it's a smaller rim, too. It's just
are cheater rims every time.
Yeah.
But that's quietly an incredible athletic achievement is to nail a series of free throws like that, and the carnies will hate you.
Yeah. Price count. Well, they'll yell out, you know, another winner. You're done.
Yeah. Three more. Yeah. Get out of here.
Everybody wins. Go away. Go get a corn dog. Get out of here, kid.
Eat more Wheaties. Get the heck out of here.
Price County Fair this weekend should be good. Gray, always good talking with you on Monday morning.
My pleasure.
We've got more coming up. News update at the top of the hour.
No matter where you are in life, we're here for you. Marshfield Clinic primary care teams offer the kind of care you need when and where you need it. Marshfield Clinic. Life is calling. Go with confidence.
Are you a veteran or a dependent or a survivor of a veteran? The Price County Veterans Service Office is committed to helping all veterans and their families. You may be eligible for benefits through the PACT Act, a new law that expands VA health care and benefits for veterans exposed to Agent Orange, burn pits, and other toxic substances. The office's mission is to assist veterans and their dependents in understanding and obtaining benefits provided by all levels of government. They are committed to advocating for veterans. Call 715-339-2545 or email them today at cvso@co.price.wi.us to set up an appointment.
Country. Shawamigan Home Furnishings has a full showroom with a wide variety of furniture ready to go out the door. Mattresses with two-sided options are available. Over 50 recliners to choose from. Futons, sectionals, sofas, love seats, Amish and up north style furniture, as well as full bedroom and dining sets. Everything is in stock and available without delay. Go to their website, ShawamiganHomeFurnishings.com. Check them out on Facebook too for more specials. Shawamigan Home Furnishings, downtown Park Falls and Main Street, Ashland, Wisconsin.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bob's had the same car, Betty, since high school, and that was a while ago. Bob's dealt with wipers, slow starts, and a few warning lights. And every time, Bob went to AutoZone, where a friendly AutoZoner helped with free services and the right parts to keep Bob and Betty on the road. No hassles, just help. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Did you know 98Q Country now posts some of their best content online for you to listen anytime?
What?
It's just at 98QCountry.com. Go to the top of the page. Here, I'll do it with you. 98QCountry.com. Yes, the numbers, 98, then the letter Q, country, dot, that's the period button down there, com, C-O-M. And then just hit enter. There you go.
Oh.
Now when you're at 98QCountry.com, simply click podcasts.
Aha.
At the top of the... No, not the logo. You're already on the website.
Hmm.
Click 98Q Podcast. It's in the top right corner. You click it once. Boy, I thought this was going to be easy. There you go. Some of our most recent and most valuable content is there, like Joel's reality radio segments.
Aha.
You can even check on old shopping show segments to see what kind of deals you can take advantage of.
Aha.
Even some of Gray's content in the afternoon show.
Ooh.
It's the 98Q podcast section of 98QCountry.com. 98Q Country content available on demand.
Aha.
You've heard of love at first sight, but how about mustard at first heartbreak? It's the real story behind the only mustard museum in the world, located in Middleton, Wisconsin.
Dijon mustard, deli mustard, honey mustard, garlic mustard, fruit mustard, veggie mustard.
Barry Levinson's new hobby of collecting mustard started after his favorite team, the Red Sox, lost the World Series in 1986. 7,000 jars and bottles later, the museum is thriving and he's loving it.
Oh, my favorite mustard. You know, who's my favorite child?
So when it comes to cutting the mustard, which state has the most award winners? The answer coming up.
On our hot dogs, on our bratwurst, mustard.
That's the official fight song for the museum. And if you think Wisconsin has the most award-winning mustards, you're correct.